think this is a timely message that's going on in our world today, and I want to take a break from John. We'll get back into John after the Bible conference. But I want to speak on God made global warming in John chapter 2 Peter chapter 3. Look in verse 7, then we'll read verse 11, and let's go ahead and read verse 10 and verse 11. So let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's begin in verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. So in other words, it was the word of Christ that created the heavens and the earth. But now they are being kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Father, I thank you as we look at your word, we can bring your word to bear on the issues of the day. And we can put scripture beside the false teaching and the liberal teaching about global warming and get the truth. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. God made global warming. Now, before I really get into the text, I want to share with you kind of a longer introduction than I usually do. But there's a big hoax out there that's being perpetuated, if you will, by liberal environmentalists. It's called man-made global warming. It's defined as a gradual increase in the overall temperature of the Earth's atmosphere caused by greenhouse gases, caused by increased levels of carbon dioxide and other man-made pollutants. And that means, basically, in layman's term, that man is going to destroy himself and he's going to destroy the planet if we don't go green. Fossil fuels, SUVs, flushing your toilet are all evil. You need to quit doing that in the day that we're living in. And let me know if you do, and I won't come over to your house when that happens. They say that the earth is getting hotter and the ice is melting. And they say that we need to prepare to move to Mars because we're going to destroy this planet. One actor actually said that. He says, we need to be making preparation to go to Mars. And my saying is, he's been to Mars. Amen? He's already been there. Now, I'm not a scientist, and there's no way that I can scientifically able to debunk their position scientifically, but I haven't been called to do that. I've been called to proclaim God's word and bring it to bear on this issue. So the question at hand is, will man destroy himself and the planet? Will man destroy himself and the planet? Now, let me give you three things quickly. When children or kids, when you go to school, when you're sitting in your classes, you need to remember these three things that your pastor... How many of you are still in school, still in high school, still in school? Raise your hand. Okay, two. Inez, were you in school? Oh, okay. You work there, don't you? Now, let me give you these three things you need to know. Number one, God created man and gave him everything he needs to exist and enjoy the creation. And he is to be good stewards of the creation. Okay? And by the way, it's not going to wind down until he says it's going to wind down. Number two, man will not annihilate himself or the planet. The big secret is God will do that. Okay? And we need to be more worried about the heat on the outside of the earth. I mean, we need to be worried more about the heat on the inside of the earth than the heat on the outside of the earth, okay? Those are some things we need to get in our minds if we go any further. Now, I want to come out of the closet tonight. Yeah. I want to come out. I'm taping this for the internet. Y'all behave. Now, I want to come out of the closet tonight because I believe in the Big Bang. I really do. I believe on the Big Bang on the end, not the front. Amen? I believe there's going to be a Big Bang. Y'all going, whew, wow. There's going to be a big bang that's going to wind all this up. Not in creation, but at the end. So I believe in the big bang tonight. And again, the universe is winding down to its intended end. Now, Peter closes this letter here in 2 Peter chapter 3 by reminding the readers and the mockers who scoff at the Lord's return in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And he reminds them that they forgot that God made everything, and he just as he destroyed it by flood, this time he'll destroy it by fire in verses 5 and 6. The creative word in verse 7 is now reserves this world for judgment of fire. So he then makes it clear that the Lord's return is certain in verses 8 and 9, and time is no factor to God. Now, I want to read something from verses 8 and 9 because there's something I want to go after here. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. Underline that word as in your Bible. And a thousand years as one day. In its context, that word as is a figure of speech. It doesn't mean one day is a thousand years, and it doesn't mean a thousand years is one day. People use this to say that God created in 7,000-year periods, okay? But this is a figure of speech to show that all this stuff out that we see is not going to last, and it's a figure of speech about God's patience, not willing that anyone should perish. To us, time is a 24-hour period, but to him, time has no effect. But he did create the heavens and the earth in 6 24-hour days. The context tells us that. Everywhere you see the word day, and you need to know this, everywhere you see the word day in the Bible, it always speaks of a 24-hour period. And at creation, remember, God said the morning and the evening were the first day. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, he equates the creation week with the Sabbath week. So 6 24-hour days. Now, there's coming a great meltdown. It's called global warming, if you will, or a great meltdown, as described in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then he goes on in verses 11 through 12 and tells us how we ought to live in the light of everything that we see, and probably most of what we do outside of Christ is going to perish. Where we spend our life right now and invest our life, if it's not in the kingdom, it's all going to perish. Okay? Especially in verses 12 and 13, look at that. Looking for the and hastening the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, as I look at this text tonight, as we talk about God made global warming, the teaching here resolves around two phrases. First of all, you see on the screen, the day of the Lord. And then the elements shall melt. Let's look at the day of the Lord, first of all, in verse 10a. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Again, in its context, the day of the Lord begins with the rapture of the church and goes through the millennium till the present heavens and earth are destroyed. The day of the Lord is a period when God intercedes in history with his judgment. And that's man's getting by with a lot of things right now. But in God's time, you know, you had that thing by Harold Camping and other people. You even got it now with something about four blood moons and all this, that, and other. Listen, the earth is not going to end today. You got 7 years of tribulation. You got 1,000 years, millennium after that. And they're not even having blood moons in the millennium, you know. And so all that's a hoax as well. And so we don't need to be following that here. So the day of the Lord is a period of God's judgment. It begins with the rapture of the church, goes through the millennium, and all the way to the destruction mentioned here in our text. So this day of the Lord, or this destruction in verse 10, will be after the millennial reign and before the new heavens and the new earth. Okay? We know that. So you got rapture, you got 7 years of tribulation, you got Christ coming at the Battle of Armageddon. the millennial reign, and at the end of the millennial reign, Satan is loosed again, and there's a final revolt. He's defeated, and then you got the destruction here in verse 10, and then you got the great white throne judgment, and you got the destruction here, and then you got the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. Okay. Somebody says, well, this is an unusual verse here because he covers a lot of prophecy just in these few verses. He doesn't mention everything. And he doesn't need to, because the point of Peter here is to show us the emphasis on what really lasts. That's his point. So he goes in this text all the way to rapture, tribulation, all the way through the millennium to the destruction of the present heavens and the present earth. It happens like this. I'll give you an order for it. There's going to be the rapture at any moment. Going to take his church out. Antichrist will come on the scene then. We'll sign a 7-year peace pact with Israel. And they'll sign it thinking he's the one who's going to bring peace. And I'm sure that Brother Ganey will talk about that some Sunday night. You'll have the Battle of Armageddon. All the nations of the world will be gathered there in the Plain of Megiddo to do battle against Christ and against Israel. And God will just supernaturally destroy them. The Antichrist, who heads up the Western Confederacy, will come in because of that void there from all those nations, and he'll come in and try to set himself up as the ruler of the earth. And you got the millennium, you got the great white throne judgment, a new heavens, new earth, eternal state. So that's when this event takes place. It's after the millennium, but it's before the new heavens and the new earth. Okay. Now I want to bring to your attention a couple of verses. Revelation 20, verse 11. And this is the great white throne judgment after the tribulation and after the millennium. Now listen to this closely. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. So it had been destroyed by fire. It fled away. Okay, it was no more. So the great white throne judgment happens after this verse 10 in our text. And then I want to take you to Revelation 21, 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, there is something else I want you to notice here in verse 10 about the day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and I'm gonna yell it from the housetop. This is not the rapture of the church. People equate Jesus coming as a thief in the night. He does not come as a thief for his church, right? He comes as a bride and a bridegroom, right? The thief is for the day of the Lord. It's for the other people that are left behind. This is not the rapture here. But it does. Coming as a thief in the night, and all these things that come upon them speaks of the unrepentance, and it speaks of the unexpectancy of Christ coming. We expect him to come, right? But they don't. They're scoffers and mockers. Remember chapter 3? Things are going on like they've always gone on. You know, where is he? You know? Well, he's going to come one day, and it's going to be too late, right? So you have the day of the Lord. Then there's a second phrase in the latter part of verse 10 that I think explains this global meltdown, and that's the elements shall melt. Now, we're almost through, so y'all hang on there. Listen to me. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away. Now, the heavens there, of course, is not the third heaven. It's speaking of the stellar heaven, planets, all that, your atmosphere, all that's going to be gone. Okay, certainly it's not going to be destruction of the third heaven. This word here is speaking about what you can see and what is visible, what is physical. Okay, so he says here, shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The elements will pass away with a big bang. That's the big bang I believe in right there. It's not the one on the front end, it's the one on the tail end. That's going to happen when Christ destroys this earth. The elements, the earth, the works therein shall melt with fervent heat. Now, elements and works makes up everything that you see, everything in this universe. Now, some people take prophecy and they like to read everything into it and say, well, all the missiles, all the nuclear missiles in the earth, the works therein, and they're going to be exploded too. But the main thing is going to come from a different source. Okay, and they're going to melt with fervent heat. In other words, the smallest particles in this universe are all going to disappear. there's going to be nothing left. Then God's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. And that's why he says in verse 9 and verse 15, this is what he's doing. He's warning people to get saved and not to invest in this world. And then also he's warning in verse 11 through 14 that the saved should live like this earth is going to be destroyed. We should live holy and separated lives because this is not what it's all about, right? I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of people investing in the wrong things one day, and they're going to find out they put all their coins in the wrong bank, right? It's not going to last. I like what John MacArthur says here. I think he describes it best in his commentary on 2 Peter. He says the earth's core contains a huge volume of molten rock that may be as hot as 12,400 degrees Fahrenheit. And now listen to this. Only a 10-mile crust separates man from the earth's blazing inferno. There's only 10 miles between us and all the fire and all the molten rock, right? And he goes on to say, the entire earth, because of its atomic structure, now we got atomic bombs and nuclear missiles under the earth in the silos, yes. But do you realize that this whole earth, this whole universe made up of neutrons and protons and electrons, it's just like a large atomic bomb. And when God speaks the word, it's gone. Okay, might be a few crotons thrown in there too. I don't know, but it's that we're living in a. What? How can I say this, Brother Larry? We're living in an atomic bomb, but one day it's all going to be gone, and it's all going to explode. When God is ready, He will use the nuclear energy from our universe as well as those in the missiles that people have. And it's going to all blow up, and there's going to be an atomic holocaust that would disintegrate the whole universe. Now, I'm not scaring you tonight. I'm telling you that this happens before the church is here. The church is going to be raptured, 7 years of tribulation, 1,000-year millennium, and we won't be on earth to celebrate this. We'll be in the third heaven, right? If you can call it celebrating that. I can imagine they have a party for everything else the world does. I wonder if they're going to call a atomic explosion party or something, and they all get drunk. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but they won't act the right way. Now, notice that word there in verse 10, with a great noise. You see that in the middle part of verse 10? Shall pass away with a great noise. This speaks of a rushing, roaring sound as the whole earth explodes. If you ever started a big fire, you saw how the fire, like a rushing wind, just like, you know, and it's gone, you know. This is what it's speaking about. This is what Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24:35. The heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will last forever. And again, heaven here is the visible physical universe that we see. Now, listen to your pastor. This is ultimate global warming right here. I wouldn't worry about using aerosols on your hairspray. You're not going to destroy the earth, right? I mean, I think they took out that stuff out of the hairsprays, didn't they? You know, got it where you can't use anything anymore that works, amen? And you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't ride these SUVs, you got to go paperless. If I've got one, I've got a million notices from my bank want me to go paperless and save the planet. I mean, they actually say that, you know. I'm not here to save the planet. There was one that came, and they got to believe in him, right? And so I wouldn't worry about none of that. It's all a lie. It's a perpetuation, trying to get across a liberal agenda to control us, right? And by the way, you know there have been more birds killed by solar wind power windmills than anything else. You know, they worried about the birds, but if we go their way, we're going to kill all the birds, right? I mean, it's just a hoax. It's just crazy. And again, I don't know all the scientific things in and out, but I do know this. That God, man is not going to destroy himself or the planet. God's going to do it in his time. So what does this mean? Well, number one, don't buy into the man-made global warming. Enjoy creation, but don't abuse it, right? Number two, don't worship the creation more than the creator. And number three, witness to as many as you can, knowing the end, right? And then number four, live for the eternal that lasts and not for the material that will perish. How can I say it anymore? I mean, when you run across these things and you're in school or you hear people teach about this and teacher says this and we got to do this, got to do that, we got to recycle this, we got to recycle that. Man, I didn't know what recycle was. I thought it was a new bicycle or something growing up, you know. But I'm telling you, man will not destroy himself. He could if God would not have a restraint there, okay? But it's reserved by God for fire and not for us, okay? So as warn as many as you can. And the thing we need to do as believers is to put our focus on the eternal rather than the physical, right? I'm not saying don't live your life. I'm not saying don't enjoy yourself and all that, but never let it get out of whack when things consume you rather than you consuming them, right? Never let it get out of balance. No invitation tonight. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for bringing it to bear on this issue. As the Bible speaks to every issue that is in the world today. There's nothing new under the sun. Same old lie perpetrated by the devil and his cohorts. And help us to remember these things as we go through life. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.